Well, I was a little late tonight. Sorry about that, but I'm positive that was Brother Pat's fault. Everything is his fault. Amen, Brother Pat? No, we came from just Rochester, so I thought, well, 15 minutes is plenty. We left at 5 o'clock. I forgot how long the lights are here in Centralia. We sat there. I thought we were going to camp out on the first light. I was ready to start a fire, roast hot dogs, all that stuff. So, all right. Well, good evening. It's good to be here this evening. Are you ready to hear from God's Word?
Amen.
Amen. We'll open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're going to talk about a firm foundation. Oh, how I believe this is important, but not just a firm foundation, but a firm foundation that's the right foundation. Amen? And we'll learn that Jesus Christ is the center of that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, we're going to read. If you'd stand tonight and maybe help me out a little bit in my reading, I'll read the first verse. You guys read the every other verse until we get to verse number 15. God's Word says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Amen. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for these people here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you'll give us a blessing. Lord, I pray that you use me as a vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We see here that the Apostle Paul is talking about the importance of a foundation. I like that part of which is on Jesus Christ. You know, people are building lots of foundations these days, and foundations that aren't very stable, foundations built on the world, foundations built on their work. Those will all crack and fall apart. The only sure foundation is upon Jesus Christ. He emphasizes that the only true foundation is Jesus Christ and warns us to be careful on how we build it. Now, again, this morning we talked about, two Christians, it was directed at Christians, but I want to extend this part even this evening as I did this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight would be a great day to know him. Because what better foundation to have than one that's built on Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says, no man cometh to the Father but by me, and that's through Christ alone. There is no other way to get to heaven. No other way to get to heaven. Now, I was going through the internet. I've got a problem about this. I'm addicted to looking at other religions. But seeing the falsehood of other religions and what they place their faith in. And as we talked about faith this morning and the importance of faith and how we have faith to accept Jesus Christ, but we also have faith for our Christian walk. But now we are looking here and saying, as we build that Christian walk and as we have faith as we go through our life, we need to be building it on the right blocks. The cornerstone, we understand, is Christ. I love talking about how they used to build buildings and how they'd put Christ, but they'd start with a stone and the corner of a building. That stone had to be perfect. That stone couldn't have a tilt to it, because if it had a tilt to it, the whole building would have a tilt. That stone had to be laid perfect, and from that stone they built everything else. If the stone is flawed, then everything else is flawed. And so we see that Christ is called the cornerstone, and we as Christians are to build our life upon that cornerstone. And as we look at that, we see that this message tonight will serve as a powerful reminder of us as Christians building upon the right thing. I want to talk tonight just a little bit more about the spiritual foundation that we need to build. The importance of a good foundation. Number one, a strong foundation is one that's built properly. I have in my notes, a good foundation is essential for any structure to stand strong. In our spiritual lives, a strong foundation is in Christ and ensures us that we can withstand trials and tribulations. You know, I believe the Lord gave us the blessing of tools in our life as Christians. You know, and as we're looking at builders, every builder here tonight that knows that you got to have the right tools to build. You can't build a house with a fork and a knife. It just won't work. You have to have the right carpentry tools to build. And Christians, we have to have the right tools to build our walk with God. You know, and as we know that salvation comes by grace, amen? It doesn't cost us anything. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. It's a free gift. And we accept it. We call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. There's no works involved for our salvation. But our Christian walk is full of works. See, that's why God calls us a servant. Is that we are to work, we are to seek after God, we are to stand strong. Look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. God's word says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, it's interesting because we're founded upon a rock, amen? That rock is Jesus Christ. I like that song that we sing, I shall not be moved. Well, I'll tell you, that's kind of where we should be as a Christian. The will not to move. A solid foundation is unmovable. When our lives are built on a foundation of Jesus Christ, we are anchored and steadfast. Look at Psalms with me, Psalm 62, verse 6. I love this part. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. You know, I read this verse, and I get excited about it because as Christians, there are things that we should have in our Christian life, and it should not be moved. Just like our Bible reading. I tell you what, I struggled through my Christian life with my Bible reading. I sat in church, not as a pastor. I sat in church as somebody that was just going to church, and I was saved, but going to church, and I'd hear all these guys, little Miss Maybell over here saying, I've read my Bible all through the year, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. And then Brother Joe over here saying, you know, I'm right on track for reading my Bible every day, but I did not read my Bible every day back then. Say, shame on you. Well, I wasn't a pastor. God had to work on me. I had to find the blessing of reading your Bible. You know, it's interesting. I spent 20 years in the military. I learned how to do self-discipline. I learned how to follow orders. But yet, something as simple as God saying, meditate there on the Word of God day and night, I couldn't understand or even apply to my life. It wasn't until I forced myself till I said, you know what, Lord, and I knelt down, I said, can you help me read my Bible every day? And when I did that, I said, Lord, I know there's going to be days that I'm going to fall down and I'm not going to read my Bible, but can you remind me, can you convict my heart to read my Bible every day? I started reading my Bible every day, And if I missed a day, I'd read that chapter and I'd read another chapter and I'd just stay in the Word of God. And here's what happened. One, I learned the self-discipline to be in God's Word every day. But two, I truly saw the blessings of reading God's Word, spending time with the Lord. Now, listen, as a Christian, we know that we take small steps, don't we? We know that that when we take a small step forward, we take this step forward, we should plant ourselves. So if reading your Bible every day is a step that He has for you, take that step, but plant yourself. Don't be moved. Don't go back to the old ways. Read your Bible every day. Make a commitment to the Lord. And when we do that, this is where it becomes growth in a Christian life. I would not, you know what? Just to be honest with you, I don't know what it'd be like to not read my Bible every day. Because I don't know how I could stand it. I don't know how I could survive in this world today without spending time with God. And it starts as something as simple as committing yourself to say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because God wants more. You say, well, that's not fair. God always wants more of me. No, no, no. He wants a closer relationship with you. Reading His Word is just a part of it. It's something that's expectation. Listen, when you hear a Christian growing, when a new Christian gets formed, there are things that they have to learn to do, and when they do it, they should not stop it. You know, little simple things like tithing. I don't know why, you know, if you're struggling with tithing, and forgive me, you don't have to have me back, but if you're struggling with tithing, you're a baby Christian, because you should have been over that a long time ago. But it's things like that that God grows us. And I have seen blessings after blessings having a tithing heart. Not just tithing on money, tithing on time, tithing on the warehouse, everything. Giving it to God. And here's what you find. You give it to God, He gives it back tenfold. Oh, I'm not talking about this, what is it, prophet preaching and all that stuff. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God blesses you when you tithe. And don't take my word for it. Take the word of God for it, because that's what it says. And so as we grow as a Christian, these are little steps that He has for us, but it's part that we need to build upon our foundation. The best thing we could teach our children? Read your Bibles. Pray. Those are important. These are things God has called us to do. We talked about this morning. We are to pray without ceasing. And as we see the importance of that, those are the building blocks. Those are the stones that we're laying from the foundation of Jesus Christ, that foundation that's not flawed, that foundation that's firm, that foundation when we knelt down and called upon the name of Jesus, that it's laid in our lives and we're building everything, excuse me, after that. Bible reading, prayer life, love for your brothers and sisters. Call to a ministry. All those things are things that we build. You know, thinking about this and not moving, you know, as a Christian grows, I was talking with some folks this morning, and I was saying this. I said, you know, he said, I've been saved a long time. I said, well, you must be a mature Christian. He says, what do you mean by that? I said, well, it means that you've been following Christ for a long time. You've learned a lot of things along the way. And that's a challenge that we have for us, is it not? That we be mature Christians before God. We will not be moved. Not only that, a good foundation endures the test of time. Think about those things that we've talked about, how we're laying those blocks that we have that we're laying out. If they're laid correctly and built upon the right thing, whatever we build lasts, according to the Word of God, forever. I mean, you know, we're going to live eternity with Jesus Christ. And so we see that the importance of that it'll last forever. The works, and we're not only, as we've read, it's tested by fire. It's built upon Christ, tested on fire. You think about something as simple as Bible reading. I like to pick that because I struggled the most with that. I struggle with Bible reading. I don't now, but I did. And you pick that, tried by fire. You know, when you set out to do something for the Lord, Satan throws things at you to stop you. Or this, when you're reading the book of Numbers, you say, I don't like that. I'm not going to read, all that begots and all the, I'm just going to not read it today. It's important to read that. It's important to read all the Word of God. You know, you guys, you've had a pastor and you have Brother Tim coming, and he's Pastor Tim. He's an awesome pastor. But, you know, when you see that, you expect them to be in their Bible every day, don't you? You ever said, why is that? Why do you expect a pastor to be in the Word of God every day? Why do you expect him to study for the sermons? Why is that? I'll open it up. Sunday evening, I get that Sunday evening at our church, it's kind of a little more laid back. Looking at Brother Steele, he did a great job song leading. But just a little laid back, that's great. But I like to have people participate. So why is it important for a pastor to be in the Word of God all the time? Okay, that's good. You don't have to use verses, but that's great, yes. Set an example, that's great. He's the leader of the flock, that's good. That's good. What were you going to say, Brother Pat? Okay, amen. Amen. I wasn't going to say anything, I just pick on him a lot. I love Brother Pat. But all these things that you said, they're very valuable for a pastor. But all these things that you said is something applicable to the Christian. Every one of those things applies to you also. Right up to leading the flock, you know what? You lead by example, do you not? And you know what? We all have, it's funny because there are certain sections in a church. You think a church is the pastor's here and the deacons are here and those are the leadership and everybody follows them. And I'll agree with that because that, but sheep have sub-leaders throughout the church. At least they are in our church. You know, here's an example. The Sunday school teacher with 20 kids is leading a little flock. They may be baby lambs, but they're learning. And everything that we said tonight is applicable. So is it important for a Sunday school teacher to be in the Word of God every day? What about that mature Christian that people look up to because they're mature? You know, last time I came here, I talked about the hoary hair. It just means gray. We were talking about that and how respect comes with people that have gray hair. You should respect me. But can I tell you that we can respect somebody for living a long time, but if they're not in their Bible, I can't respect guidance spiritual from them. But the Bible says you should have that if you're saved. That if you are older, you should be setting that example. You should be leading the flock. You should be helping, participating. You know, it's funny. I was talking about retirement with somebody, and they said, you know, a pastor should never retire. And I said, that's not true. There's a time when a pastor doesn't become as effective in the pulpit or as effective in leading the flock as he should be, and I believe that pastor should step down. But as a pastor approaches retirement, I correct him and says, I believe you can retire as a pastor, but I don't think you ever retire from God. And I think that's for every Christian that's saved here tonight. You never retire from God. So we look at how firm that foundation is and how it will last and continue. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What is that? What does that mean in the verse, revealed by fire? Hey, listen, fire just simply comes from trials in our life. I love saying this. We had a dear man in our church that passed away this last year, and just a solid member in our church. Just a godly man, always a leader. He died of cancer, or he died of a heart attack, but he had, I guess he had liver problems, but just a great man. And just it just hurt the church all the way through. He was solid. But I remember one time we were soul winning, and we were on the bus. And I was driving the bus. I don't know why pastors always have to drive the bus. But I was driving the bus. We had probably 20 people, and we were, you know what it's like with all the chatter and the yelling and the screaming and the hallelujahs that happen. And he said something that triggered a thought. He said, you know, trials, the reason we count it joy is because God gave it to us for our own good. And I started thinking about those trials. And I had a hallelujah moment. It was simply this: I'm a man made of my trials. Without the trials that I have, I would not be the person I am today. I would probably not be a pastor if it weren't for the trials that I've had in my life. And I made that epiphany and understanding that wow, part of a Christian walk is learning to count it all joy. Part of a Christian walk is learning to be thankful for my trials. You say, Pastor, I've gone through some horrible trials, and I can't think of anything wonderful about it. Well, it makes you who you are today. You know, it's funny, what would we be like if we were never tried by fire? What would our foundation look like, or our Christian walk look like, if we never was convicted about something from God? We'd be weak. We'd be, as a friend of mine used to say, a spineless jellyfish. We wouldn't be good for much of anything. But the fires that we go through strengthen us. And those fires help us. And as we see here tonight, that one of the building blocks that we need to have is that building block to say, hey, I'm thankful for my trials. Again, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Listen, the things of God are never wood, hay, and stubble. The things of God are things that last, things that get purified. As we look in Psalms chapter 1, we see, well, actually, don't turn there, but Jesus is the only good foundation. Here's our rock. Look at Psalms 18:2. Psalms 18:2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Amen. He is our rock. But not only that, he's our strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not only should we build the things upon Christ, not only should we lay the foundation upon those things that Christ has for us, but in doing so, we gain strength. We gain strength as we look at the things that Christ has done for us. Not only that, but he's our support. Jesus supports us in every aspect of our life. Every aspect. Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, you stand on the firm foundation, you shall not be moved. And he's saying here, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He wants you to stay there. The foundation is your life, or what foundation is your life built upon? Is it on silver, precious stones? Building with gold, silver, and precious stones represents works of eternal value, as the Bible talks about. Those things tried by fire. I was watching, it's a knife building thing. I forgot what the name of it was. Forged in Fire. And it wasn't it, Brother Plumley's son? Thank you. That's my brain tonight. Brother Plumley's son actually won the competition in that. And I don't know if you know Brother Plumley, but yeah, a great pastor. I almost said a great little pastor, but he's really buff too. But he's a great pastor, and his son had some knives that he made in there and won the competition or whatever it was, and the knives are just beautiful. They've been forged over and over and became very precious, very battle-ready. You know, if you read about samurais, you know a samurai sword is one that even today, if you can find an old samurai sword, it's worth a fortune. Why is that? Because it's as flexible, it's as sharp, and it's just, I mean, a samurai could cut, well, I was going to say a bamboo thing, but heads, whatever it is, arms, bodies, he could just, ha, like that, and well, they'd stay together for a while, and then the guy would realize, and then they'd fall apart, I guess. But why is that so important? Well, I was watching how they make samurai swords. It's amazing. They take and they get a fine choice of metal, they heat it up and they flatten it, and then they fold it. And then they flatten it out again, and then they fold it again. And you think, well, how many times could they possibly fold it? I'm thinking thousands of times. And through that heating, the pure impurities of the metal get cast aside. By the act of heating it up and folding it up, the metal becomes changed, and the alloy, as it comes together again and welds itself together, and it becomes not rigid, but it becomes very flexible and holds a razor sharp edge. It takes a long time to make a samurai sword, but the thing that makes it is the fire which purifies the metal. I got to thinking about our Christian walk. Shouldn't we be like that? Beat out flat, folded on Christ, and worked again till we're just, by the time we hit the end of our life, we're like that precious Brother Tim I was telling you about. Just as strong in the Lord as ever. What a wonderful, wonderful Christian testimony to give. When I die, I want people to not remember me as the life of the party, a good mechanic or a good computer guy. I want people to remember me as a godly man that was tried by fire and with that gained strength. But there's something else to that too. There's wood, hay, and stubble. Building with wood, hay, and stubble represents the lesser value. These are acts done that for selfish reasons or without putting it the tried test of faith in it. They'll be burned up and as a result lost forever. You know, I have in my notes how many Christians built their life, their Christian life, on wood, hay, and stubble. Come before the Lord, and it's all burned off. You know, I don't know if I shared this with you before. I'll probably share it another 20 times if you have me back. But when I was pastoring at Heritage Baptist, or not pastoring, I was a worker at Heritage Baptist Church a long time ago, I was doing everything in the church. I was song leader, Sunday school teacher, bus worker, mechanic, yard guy, church cleaner, all those things. And I really got a heart that was kind of hardened. It was a heart that was hardened. And here's why. And it all came to a point when I was working on the only van that we had that would go do our bus route. And I And I just remember it was raining. I was laying on there. The rain was pouring down. I was wet. I was cold. And I was, I think I was trying to think what I was working on. Might have been a power steering or something like that. But it was a job that was pretty bad. And no one else would do it in the church. I was not the pastor. I was just a worker guy. And I was thinking, man, this stinks. I don't want to do this. And God just struck me right there. You say, well, did lightning hit you? No, but it felt like it. And God said, if you're not doing it for me, I don't want you to do it at all. He said, all the things you're doing, everything that you're doing is wood, hay, and stubble. Everything you're doing is a loss. And it's all going to burn up. And listen, Mr. Peace, I'd rather you not do it if you don't have the right heart. I got so convicted. I dropped my wrench, crawled out from underneath the van, walked into church, kneeled at the altar. I said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. From now on, whatever I do, I'm going to do for you. I walked into the pastor's office later on and I said, I'm stopping all ministries and I'm going to start them back up when God wants me to. And I said, when I do that, I'm going to give it my whole heart. I started teaching Sunday school class. It's amazing when you have the right heart how wonderful it is. I started doing song leading, and that's something that, Brother Steele can probably say this. It's not, sometimes it feels awkward. I started doing that. I said, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm not doing it for the pastor. I'm not doing it for the song, for the deacons. I'm not doing it for the congregation. God, I'm doing it for you. I found a new fervor. I did fix the van in the old flesh, because it had to be fixed. But I tell you that, you know, I ended up getting back all those ministries and more, and I was happy doing them. What was the difference? It was my heart. I said, God, I'm going to do it for you. See, we got rid of the hood, hay, and stubble. I have in my notes that the only foundation is Christ, and Paul states this in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Building our lives upon his teachings and followings ensures us that we'll have a significant growth in our Christian life. So where's our treasures tonight? Where are your treasures? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. I want you to listen to this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, that's what I had to learn. I believe if you're seeking the Lord and you have your treasures right, that God gives you rewards. In 1 Corinthians 3:14 it says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That would be something that we need. This is something that God gives us, the rewards. But also on the flip side, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, that saved part is once you receive Jesus Christ, no man can take you out of God's hand. It's sure, it's firm. But your rewards can be lost. Your rewards in heaven can be lost. Isn't that sad? Or not even attained? Think about that. You know, I know that I don't go soul winning for just rewards in heaven. But I love that God's going to acknowledge that in heaven. I love that God's going to acknowledge the going, working for Him and seeking after Him. You know, I don't witness to folks. I don't have charity to folks for rewards in heaven, but I know that they'll come. You know, it's interesting to me that the loss of rewards is something that we build upon wood, hay, and stubble. You know, it's funny because sometimes even as a pastor, you can just be going through the motions, doing it with the wrong kind of heart. You know, and don't be deceived. Pastors can have the wrong heart before God. And even being a pastor and preaching messages, and he can preach a sound message, but listen, if his heart's not with the Lord and his heart's not right with God, that message won't have the impact. And the results of that message is wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. You need to have your right heart right with God. Laying up treasures in heaven, those treasures that are of gold and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble. So tonight, let me ask you, what are your treasures? What are you laying up for yourselves? Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Hopefully, everyone in here tonight is saved. But I am asking, what are you laying your treasures up now? Why do you think it's important for God for you to be the kind of Christian that He wants you to be? Why do you think it's important that you choose service to the Lord? You ever think about that? That God doesn't need us. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anybody in here. God is almighty. He's holy. He's God. But yet He loves us with a love that we don't deserve. So why is it important for us to give our hearts to the Lord? Why is it important for us to walk a Christian life that's pleasing to God? You know, my daughter back there, Stephanie, there have been times when she was little, man, I'll tell you, she did not please her father. It usually was around cleaning her room. But I remember one time I took a picture of her room and I threatened her that I was going to show everybody at church about her room. It didn't help, did it, Stephanie? But can I tell you that when she would clean her room, it pleased me. And she would try to do things to please me. I remember how I feel that as a father. I remember one time, I think it was you that had a problem with spelling. Was that? Yeah. And I got you a bear. Do you remember that? Stuffed animal. You were little. But she had a hard time with it. And so what I did is, you know, I talked with her about it. And her spelling got better because she worked hard at it. I was just as pleased as I could be. So I bought her a stuffed animal. I think that, you know, a child wants to please their father. Nobody likes a grumpy dad. But we all love a loving father, right? So shouldn't we please our father? Nobody likes a grumpy God. Because it wouldn't be good for any of us. So why don't we take steps to please Him? So what am I saying? The same thing I believe are fundamentals of our building blocks of our Christian life. Starts out by doing what God says. If you just get saved, then get baptized. We know baptism has nothing to do with our salvation, but everything with showing God we love Him and looking at that picturing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then focus on your walk. Do the things that He calls. He says there's two things, two ordinances that you need to do, the Lord's Supper and baptism. So do both of those. And not only that, but walk right. If you look at the Lord's Supper, it's all about getting yourself right with God so you can partake of the Lord's Supper. But it's not just every year that we do the Lord's Supper. It's every year, every day, you're to walk towards the Lord. So how do we do that? Well, I believe we need to get to know God. So if you just got saved and baptized and you're going to seek after those two ordinances that God gave us, then start reading God's Word. And not only just read it, but become it. Meditate there on it day and night, right? Hide it to our heart, which is memorization of the Bible. But that's only half the communication, because now you need to pray. Spend time with God. Have a relationship with the Lord. You know, the most precious relationship I have is with Christ. Not my wife, not my daughters, not my son, not my dad. My most precious relationship is with Christ. And with all relationships, it depends how you work on it. Because there are some people that have walked as a Christian years and years and years, and they really don't know Christ. They really don't know His love. They don't really know His compassion. And why is that? Because they don't walk with Him. They don't seek Him. And they don't get together with Him. So what do? Well, we add that as a building block. Get to know Christ. Walk with Him. You know, it's funny. I've watched people that come to the church and they say, we need money. As they say, we need money, they said, well, we need money and you've got to give it to us. And I look at them and say, well, what about the Lord will provide? He said, we don't believe in that. And I don't want to give them anything, to be honest with you. Because that's just feeding the flesh, right? But I had to learn that the Lord would provide. And as the Lord provides, how important it is for us. I know I'm probably just about ready. So tonight, what are you building your building blocks upon? Are they precious stones, gold and silver? Or are they wood, hay, and stubble? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the message that You've given us tonight. And Lord, I know it's a deeper one, Lord, with just a challenge to our hearts. And maybe, Lord, You're even challenging this pastor. And so, Lord, I ask You to help us grow together. Help us walk and seek after You. Give us that conviction, Lord, that You can only do. Lord, we love You so much. We just want to grow in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand as we sing page 591. Page 591. We'll sing that first verse out, 591.